Good morning. Good to see everyone here. I want to welcome you here see if I can juggle some papers around right quick. Have a few announcements that I do need to share this morning. It's in the season of Operation Christmas Child again. These shoe boxes that we fill up every year. This year again, our goal is 60 boxes to fill them with supplies to be sent literally around the world through missionaries at different places around the world. There is a basket in the foyer with some cards in those. If you would pick those up, and by doing so, you'll pledge to bring those items. We'll have boxes here and in the fellowship hall where you can deposit those. By month, you notice in your bulletin, in August will be school supplies, September personal hygiene items, October toys and items of interest, fun stuff, and then in November, donations for paying for the shipment of these 60 boxes. And so that's a seasonal thing. Packing night will be when? November 17th. Everyone's welcome to participate. Again, those cards are in the foyer. Pick those up. School supplies we collect in August because they're made available in our stores. And so we'll do that this week. Tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we'll be feeding the elementary school teachers and staff from across the street. We'll be feeding them breakfast in the fellowship hall. Please contact Clarice Dido about what you might be able to bring, supply, provide, any help that you might be able to do in the morning. That's has become an annual event. That's taking place tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Remember, tonight we gather for Bible study, continuing our study in 2 Corinthians tonight at 6 o'clock. And so join us if you will. Again, I want to welcome everyone. Glad you're here. And welcome our guests. And pray that you'll come back real soon. Any other announcements? All right. Have a lot of prayer requests. I have jotted down several. Hopefully I can remember some of them that I didn't jot down. But I just received word that Gene Daniels was in the hospital with pneumonia. So pray for him. And his wife, Elsie, is suffering from breast cancer. So a double whammy there in that family. Pray for Bill and Louise Barrett, both in poor health. Bill recovering from heart surgery and Louise having some heart issues. Darlene Odom, recovering from heart surgery, continue to pray for her. Her husband, Charlie, also a lot of health issues with him, but do pray for them. Spoke with him one day this week, and they seem to be on the mend, so pray for them. I also was informed, Preston, you're going to be having neck surgery this week? No. It'll be a little while. Okay, well, we're going to be praying for you. So began praying for him and the issue there at hand. And then we have got Nancy Barrett, breast cancer in treatment. Have a number of families who have lost loved ones. The Chris Pierce family, pray for that family. I just found out that this is Grover Hankey's widow, would be that right word? Grover passed away a couple of years ago. We knew him from Big Level. And his wife worked at the college, and now she has taken a turn to the worst, passed away this week. So pray for that family. She's, would say, 54, two young children. So sad situation there. Those kids having lost their dad a couple of years ago, now their mom. Pray for that family. We received word this week also, Gertie Rogers is in failing health. She's been placed on hospice. I don't know if you remember her. She was a faithful member here years ago, and now the last several years she's been on the coast, either in assisted living or with some of her family, but she has strong ties here in the church, and so pray for her. Have Beverly Lee family. She is a lady that worked at Walmart. Some of us were very familiar with her. She passed away this week also. Diane Wanker, W-N-K-E-R, family. This is Marilyn's cousin, Marilyn Beckham's cousin. She passed away. Pray for that family. And continue to pray for the McDaniels family. They're here with us this morning, but Melissa's daughter passed away up in Arkansas. Glad to have them back with us, but continue to be in prayer for that family. And her other daughter's with them this morning. Glad to have you here and want to welcome you. Any others that I have? I was hit fast and furious this morning with a lot of these. Do my best, but sometimes I miss some of them. We've got a lot of needs. Hospitals are full. We lean and rest on the Lord. He is our Savior. He is merciful, all caring, heals, is able to give comfort where comfort is needed. He is the answer always. So let's go to Him in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are, and we do pray for Your counsel of comfort for the families that have lost loved ones, many tragically, several unexpected. We pray for others who seemingly are on their deathbed. We pray for them, pray for their family. As long as there is breath and life, we pray for healing. And Lord, we pray for healing and recovery on a number of people. Pray for Brother Bill Barrett right now. Pray for Darlene Odom. We just ask that You would be with them. Bring healing. Gene Daniels, whatever his condition is, Lord, we pray for him. Lord, we have a lengthy prayer list, my unspoken requests, as well as a printed prayer list that is updated every week. God, You know each and every one. We bring them to You now, and we thank You, God, for tending to each one and bridging the gap where no one or nothing else is sufficient. But Heavenly Father, You are sufficient always, and for that we pray, and we just leave all these requests with You in faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother John, come and get us started off in our worship time, will you? Father, we come to worship this morning, and we do ask that You would open our hearts to receive from You as we worship You this morning. We give to You this time. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and it is in His name that we approach You in worship this morning. Amen.
Hymn 52. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 438, Jesus saves. That's why we're here. Amen. That's the purpose. We have heard the joyful song.
Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. Lord, we just thank you this opportunity to be back in your house and hearing your words, worshiping you. Just be with us as we listen to the message that you have prepared for us this morning, and let us take it and apply it to our lives that we can be the servant that we should be. Just be with us now as we give back a portion of that you've blessed us with this week. Just bless the giver and the gift. Let us take it and use it in a way that would be pleasing to you. These things we ask in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy, for that time of meditation. Very, very good. Glad to have her back. She missed her last Sunday. She had a bout with some sickness as well. Always good to have you back. Praise the Lord for you and what you're able to do there. Psalm 34, if you would turn there with me this morning. I don't know how long we'll stay with the Psalms. I keep wanting to depart from them, but then I just keep coming back to them. And so Psalm 34 this morning, message I've entitled Wise Counsel. And it wasn't until I began to look at the context of this psalm that I really decided this is the word for this Sunday. Psalm 34, it's quite lengthy, but let's read through it to begin with, if you'll follow in your Bible. Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. Those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them shall be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. This morning I am your unworthy mouthpiece to speak for you on the behalf of you regarding this psalm. I pray, Heavenly Father, you would be with me. Help me to say what you'd have me to say. And then, Heavenly Father, as our choir sang and as we have prayed, we open our hearts to you to receive what you have for us, each one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 34 is not only credited to David, but the time of its origin is also identified. Look at the prelude of this psalm. Psalm 34. Right at the beginning, before the text that we read, it said, "The Lord delivers his own of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left." Well, now that's interesting. The context of this psalm is just identified there as a time when David pretended to be insane before Abimelech and was drove away. So in order to understand the psalm, let's go back to 1 Samuel 21. Hold your finger in here to Psalms. And if you can find the book of 1 Samuel, and I've cheated, I've got a paperclip there. 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10 records this interesting event in the life of David. And it takes place well before David is king. Saul is still a king. David is leading the army of Israel and experiencing tremendous victories, and the people of Israel are cheering him every time he comes back from a campaign. And King Saul is just eaten up with jealousy and hatred toward David. And he has sworn to kill David. And here we go. 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dancing? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." And so David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors and the doors of the gates, and letting saliva run down his beard. And Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. An interesting chapter of the life of David. So the context, the time of Psalm 34 is when David is in or at the cave of Adullam. His family and some of his followers who were in distress, it said there as we read, who were in distress, in debt, and in discontented, gathered around him there, about 400 men. And David became their leader. And so David then gives them the wise counsel that we have preserved for us in Psalm 34. So Psalm 34 is the result of, we might say, what David is just experiencing, escaping the wrath of Saul and escaping the wrath of King Achish. And here he is giving counsel, wise counsel from the Lord to his followers as their leader for the future of what they might face. This counsel of Psalm 34 comes directly from the Holy Spirit of God. Let us not forget that. Regardless of the experience that David has just had, regardless of it coming through the pen of this man David, it is the Holy Spirit of God that inspired this psalm to be written. It's directly from the Holy Spirit of God. This word, this counsel, is directly from God. But it also comes through the experience of one who has applied these things in their life, namely King David, who would become king. This counsel comes to us in the form of four distinct subjects, we find as we study the psalm. Bless the Lord, seek the Lord, fear the Lord, and trust the Lord. That's important. Bless, seek, fear, and trust the Lord. The relevance of this psalm for today is astonishing. That, more than anything else, is why the Lord would not allow me to depart from this psalm, is because the relevance for today. What we just read in 1 Samuel is pretty much where we're at today. The nation of Israel was in chaos. It was filled with corruption and violence on every hand, forcing many people into debt, distress, and discontent. You notice as we read, that's the folks that came to David. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. And so, where shall they go? So they go to the one person who has proven himself in battle that seems to brighten their future, where Saul is literally destroying the country. Not only is this a case of corruption and violence in the nation, but their nation was intentionally attempting to destroy the laws of the Lord and those who taught it. You don't have to go back to 1 Samuel. We've probably already closed your Bible to 1 Samuel. But let me just read a little bit. If we go on in that same chapter just a little further, we find that the king, that's Saul, ordered Doeg, you turn and strike down the priests. Go kill all the priests, because Saul didn't like what they were saying. They were not supporting him like he thought they should. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. The linen ephod identified them as priests. So that day, by the order of Saul, he put to death 85 priests. Not only that, the next verse says he also put to the sword Nob, the town of the priests, with its men and children, men and women, its children and infants, its cattle, donkeys and sheep. That utterly destroyed the town where the priests and their families lived, even to the point of destroying the livestock. So here they are. So let's look at this wise counsel, take it to heart, and be prepared to follow it in our lives and in the days ahead. Psalm 34 includes a counsel to pray and exalt the Lord. I'm sure you noticed that our song service this morning had a lot to do with praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise is always. Last Sunday, Psalm 33 was all about the worship of praise. Psalm 34 continues to carry that message on, especially throughout the psalm, but especially in the first three verses, there's nothing but that. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. All of these people David is talking to, including himself, are classified, qualified as being the afflicted. They're the oppressed. Hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us extol his name together. So the first thing in the council is praise and exalt the Lord for many reasons. The Lord hears and answers prayers. Let's look at some of that. Verse 4, the last part says, he delivered me from... No, first part, I sought the Lord and he answered me. Answers our prayers. Verse 15, kind of skipping around here. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are attentive to their cry. The first part of that, but verse 6, if we go back, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. The first part of verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. All through the psalm, it's calling out for praise because our Lord hears and answers our prayers. He is always attentive to our cry. The afflicted, the poor man, as he calls himself. Remember, David had left everything He fled Jerusalem. He fled Israel with nothing. The Lord provides for our needs. Look at verse 9 and 10 again. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. We might not always have what we want, but all good things come to those who serve and fear the Lord. He provides for our needs. The Lord delivers us from our troubles, regardless of what they might be. The last part of verse 4 said, He delivers him from my fears. He delivered me from my fears. The last part of verse 6, He saved him out of all his troubles. The last part of verse 17, again, He delivers them from all their troubles. Pretty clear. Praise the Lord because He delivers us. Praise the Lord because He protects us from danger. Verse 7, the angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. We can't see the angels, but our guardian angels are always here. That's pretty amazing. I wish I could see them. I don't know, we might take some chances that we wouldn't ordinarily take if we could see them with their drawn swords protecting us from things that we are not even aware of. Such is the truth. Our Lord is worthy of praise. First part of wise counsel is always praise and exalt the Lord. How wonderful He is. We're further counseled to seek the Lord. And again, this is brought out throughout the psalm, but verse 4 through verse 8 speak to this specifically. Verse 8, look at that again. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who takes refuge in Him. Seek the Lord. Taste and see. Look for Him. The reasons for seeking the Lord are many, and several are mentioned in this psalm, in these verses. He saves us, verse 6 said again. We read that a while ago. He keeps us, verse 7, we said that. Looked at that a moment ago. Satisfies us. Taste and see, says we receive satisfaction because of the Lord, but we must seek Him. As is true about many things in life, there's a lot of benefit, but that we don't realize the benefit unless we seek it. Some examples. Health care. Our doctors in the health care field have a lot of knowledge and skills about treating all kinds of different things, but they are of no use to any of us if we don't go to the doctor. We have to seek help. And so it is, my friends and Christian brothers and sisters with the Lord. We must seek Him. He provides all of our need. We lack no good thing. We just read. But we must seek Him. And again, it brings out in this psalm to seek Him. Education. A good education has many benefits, but education is of no benefit if we don't pursue it, if we don't seek it. God's Word holds much wisdom and much helps on any and every subject, but it is no use, no benefit to us at all if we don't seek it. Amen. One of the wonderful things about the Gideon ministry is that they're distributing God's Word, but then it's up to the individual to seek what's in it. And we know from the testimonies of many that they do. We do, and the chips are down, and the going gets tough. And we're in situations, tight situations, like David was in here. His counsel comes directly from the Lord. Praise Him, but not only praise Him, but seek Him. By seeking Him, our fears are delivered. He delivers us from troubles all around. Fears within, troubles without. Seeking Him is where we find relief from those things. Seeking the Lord results in a joyful countenance. I like that. Look at verse 5. Those who look to him or those who seek him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Don't you like to see a radiant expression on people's face? I've known some folks, I'm sure you do too, that always have the saddest look on their face. Seeking the Lord, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. A joyful countenance comes by seeking the Lord. By seeking the Lord, we experience a ministry of angels in so many ways. Mentioned that already. Moving on. Furthermore, the counsel of Psalm 34 clearly tells us to fear the Lord. You know, we have gotten so, in recent years, in my lifetime, when I was growing up, preaching from the pulpit instilled a lot more fear of God than it does today. I remember Mr. Clark, no longer with us, always sat right back there. I remember many times he said when he grew up, his pastor had caused a fear of God. By the time he got finished, you were scared to death and looking for help. And that help is in the Lord. Fear the Lord. Verse 9 through 16. Before I look at anything more in depth there, let me read to you what the words of Jesus, what Jesus said about this subject in Luke chapter 12 in verse 4 and 5. Listen to what Jesus said. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now let us have no mistake. We're the ones, every individual is the one who condemns themselves to eternity in hell. But our God is the ultimate judge, who one day everyone will stand before him and give an account. Have you accepted his Savior? Have you accepted God's Son, Jesus, and his blood shed? By his grace, saved by his blood. Have you accepted that or have you rejected that? And he has the ultimate authority to say, come into my heaven, my home, for all of eternity. Or go to an eternal fire in hell with Satan and his angels. He is the one we fear. Let me tell you, David says these words. He was afraid of King Saul because Saul was hunting him. And all of his henchmen had orders to kill him when they found him. And David was afraid of Achish. The reason David left and went to Achish was he knew he would be safe there from Saul because Achish was Saul's enemy. The last place on earth Saul's going to come looking for David is the palace of Achish. Be in for one big fight. And so, make no mistake, David didn't go to the palace of King Achish because he thought he might be welcomed. He knew that's one place on earth that Saul would not pursue him. And he'd just have to deal with chips as they fell with Achish. And so what he's saying in this psalm, this counsel of fear of the Lord, is He feared Saul, he feared Achish, but above all else, he feared God. He feared the Lord because he understood that Saul and Achish could take his life, but after that, they were helpless. There wasn't anything else they could do to him. But his Lord had command of eternity. And folks, that ain't changed. We can have fear of all kinds of things, of sickness and disease, death itself. But then, one we really have to have a reverent fear and respect for is our Lord. Look at some of these verses, verse 11. David's speaking to this group that's of his followers that have came to him there at the mouth of this cave where he's taken refuge. Verse 11, "Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Those who love life and desire to see good days, many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cries. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from all of the earth." All of that that is stated, verse 12 through verse 16, is based on the fact, on the teaching of fearing the Lord. The counsel of Psalm 34 moves on then from the counsel to fear the Lord, but the final word comes, verse 17 through 22, and I just like those even better than all of the rest of it. And that is, trust the Lord. Live by faith. Trust the Lord. You know, we flippantly say it, well, it's in the Lord's hands. The United States of America is going to hell in a handbasket. But it's in the Lord's hands. He is in control. So let us trust him. In everything, let us trust him. Live by faith and rest. Be at peace, inner peace with that. Trusting the Lord and putting our faith in him and everything gives great comfort and rest for the inner me, inner being, the inner soul. Verse 17, "The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Hear all this? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Brokenhearted, crushed in spirit. Trust the Lord. Because you cry out to the Lord and he hears and delivers. Verse 19, "A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. He protects all its bones. Not one of them will be broken." You know, back in David's day, if somebody broke a bone, it was a major thing. They didn't have the medical know-how to take care of it. You know, I'm always resulted in amputation, many times death from infection. They didn't have any way of treating that. "Evil will slay the wicked. The foe of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servant. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him." No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Wise counsel indeed. Praise the Lord, seek the Lord, fear the Lord, trust the Lord. Praise the Lord, brag on him always. This thing of trusting the Lord, I've wondered about that so many times in my life, and I have a feeling that you have too. What shall we do? in a particular situation. Shall we do this or shall we do that? What's going to happen as a result of what's happening? What takes place? But more personally, how should we react? What action shall I take? And every day there are things that cross the path of our life where we have to make decisions as far as what to do, what action to take. And let me tell you that the counsel of David here is so fitting and so real. Praise the Lord, seek the Lord, fear the Lord, and entrust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Throughout the week, as I've looked at this, a little song came to me, and it's been going through my mind all week long. I don't know about you, but sometimes there'll be a song or a phrase or something to get in my head, and I can't get it out of there. And such it is with a little song that I learned when I was a little kid in children's choir in a church where I grew up. Whisper a prayer in the morning. Whisper a prayer at noon. Whisper a prayer in the evening to keep your heart in tune. To keep your heart in tune. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if we keep our hearts in tune with the Lord, we can just trust Him and He will direct us. Many times we pray, Lord, is this the psalm for Sunday, 1st of August? Pray, Lord, direct me. I never heard the voice of the Lord, but because of different things, I chose that. So it is with our decision making. We don't, not that we can't, but most of the time, we don't get any real clear answer from God Himself. Sometimes we do, but not always. God allows us, trusts us with our abilities and our wisdom and our common sense to make the right decision, and He directs us into that. He directs us. He does exactly what He promises to do. And most of the time, we're not even aware of it. But if our hearts are in tune with Him, we'll make the right decisions. Back to poor David in Israel. He knew he had to get out of Israel or else Saul would kill him. So what shall I do? We have nowhere stated that the Lord told him to go to King Achish. But just from what David knew, that was one place he'd be safe. And so that's where he went. Well, then when King Achish's men recognized who he was, this is a big general that's coming back to Jerusalem with all of these victories, and they're proclaiming him above Saul. Wow, have we ever got a gem? Here, let's take him to the king. We can persecute him and drag him through the streets of the city, and we will proclaim a great victory, but that's not what happened. Nowhere are we told that God told David to act like a lunatic. But somehow or another, it entered David's mind with the Lord's guidance. If I act like a madman, he's going to get rid of me. So he did, and sure enough, that's what happened. And so you see, we can see through this and through the counsel that David gives to his followers, that the Lord gives to us as our followers. The Lord leads those who praise him, who seek him, who fear him, and then simply trust him. When David left Jerusalem, I don't think he had a clue what he was going to do, where he was going to go, how he was going to act. He didn't know he was going to go to the palace of King Achish and act like a person that is insane. But as he followed one step, then the next step, and the next step, and the next step, the Lord led him to make the right decisions that worked. And folks, things ain't changed. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Keep your heart in tune. Keep our hearts in. If that piano's out of tune, regardless of the ability and the skills of Nell and Brandy, it would sound a mess. So it is with our lives. If our lives are not in tune with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with God Almighty, our lives is just going to be a mess. And unfortunately, even a lot of Christians are there. Wise counsel. It's not from me, because I haven't always followed that either. I'm a struggler. Just like you. But it's here. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your counsel. Thank you for your word. Be merciful to us. Help us to be faithful in regard to this counsel. How we love you. And we trust you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing a closing hymn. If you would like to come and make a decision for the Lord, this is the time to do it. Come and share that decision with me if you'd like.
356.
356.
Back at the next point in time. You help us to represent you in the world. We live these things, yes.